Bell Hooks invites us in her book, Teaching to Transgress, Education as the Practice of Freedom, to bring our whole self to the classroom / learning space. In this vein, I will admit I have a learning difference. There, I've said it. I'm dyslexic. I used to hate this label, but I've come to embrace it, viewing it as a gift rather than a grievance. I've been very lucky as I've had an incredibly supportive family and Becky, who supports me with my dyslexia, as well as disability services, who have been great, and I'd like to dedicate my project to them for always believing in me, even when I did not believe in myself. Therefore, this project will address how dyslexics feel that the current education system and the system of the past has been a dyslexic's version of an educational dystopia. I took this module and wanted to reinvent education after being introduced to the quote from Dr. Haim Gnaut, who's a child psychologist and Holocaust survivor. He says, "My eyes saw what no person should witness. Gas chambers built by learning engineers. Children poisoned by educated physicians. Infants killed by trained nurses. Women and babies shot by high school and college graduates. So I am suspicious of education. My request is, help our children become human. My request is, help your students become human. Your efforts must never produce learned monsters, skilled psychopaths, and educated Eichmanns. Reading, writing, arithmetic are important only if they serve to make our children more humane. The dystopia created through this education is unimaginable and has incredibly severe consequences. My project is also a dystopia, but it's clearly not as severe as noted above. My project instead focuses more on injustice rather than on inhumane treatment. Thus, for the project, I adopt an understanding that an educational dystopia is the opposite of the utopian ideal that no child is left behind. Instead, my project understands that the educational system is one that causes destruction of the self for the good of the unattainable goal of perfection, and leaves the child / people not knowing their talents and feeling that they have none. A dystopia of education is therefore one which creates barriers which can lead to feelings of failure, despite the people trying their hardest. I understand education as something which occurs every day. As the phrase goes, you learn something new every day. Therefore, whenever you are learning, you are educating yourself. For this project, I look at a section, an institutionalised version of education, school. It may be useful here to distinguish between schools and education a bit more. For me, school is a system or place with rules, curriculums, communities, classrooms and more, whereas education is a process. I accept that these aren't complete answers, but provide a basic understanding of the differences between education and school. The medium is the message is an idea proposed by Marshall McLuhan's. Building on this, I've designed and created my SDA as an educational tool, a critical pedagogy piece, where people can understand dyslexia, so that once an understanding has been gained, rewriting and reinventing education will become easier and more inclusive. The project hopes to be inclusive, particularly to those who have dyslexia. In order to do this, I've tried to use minimal words, therefore aiming to make my project dyslexia friendly. Importantly, my SDA shows that dyslexia is an educational issue, not a medical diagnosis. And when dyslexia is diagnosed, it should not impede someone's ability to follow their dreams and feel successful in whatever way they may view success. The project, as you can see, is a road, an educational journey. I've tried to embrace my own vulnerabilities and see how they are barriers to those who are dyslexic within the educational system. My SDA draws on my personal experience of dyslexia, and to represent this, I've included photos of significant learning moments to represent my own educational journey and the associated hurdles I have faced. It's important to note that every dyslexic has a different journey. Therefore, please don't make the assumption that everyone has faced these barriers, and I acknowledge that there are many other barriers within the education system for other dyslexics that I myself have not faced. I've chosen to create an accompanying podcast so that dyslexics do not need to read the project, allowing me to also share my voice. Consequently, as the medium is the message, I want you to learn and be educated through experience So throughout the podcast, I will ask you to complete a variety of tasks and activities. Initially, some may appear strange, but the aim is for you to gain an insight into a dyslexic's view of the world. When completing a task, please pause the podcast after the instructions and complete the task. Each step of the dyslexia dystopia journey is a symbol of a barrier faced in the everyday schooling of a dyslexic child. The module is entitled Reinventing Education. Thus, I aim to show what the current barriers dyslexics face in education, but also how these barriers may be overcome. I therefore try to reinvent and reimagine how education is, so that dyslexics are not in dystopias. A key component to overcoming this dyslexia dystopia is to create an educational system where dyslexics are not disadvantaged. I realise, although they may have their weaknesses, this is not a reflection on them, and instead they can compensate with their strengths. These two aims are wider, as I would also hope that they could apply to everyone, and that education could be more meritocratic, but most importantly, a place to learn self-worth, which I believe is essential for equipping students around the world. Hello, and welcome to my project. You've arrived at the first step, Tiny TV. 1 in 10 people are dyslexic. Dennis Little perfectly describes how dyslexics are part of your life, without you even noticing it. He says, "Dyslexics populate the world, the earth, in great numbers. They are all around us, all the time. She's the little girl who forgets her lunch at home for the third day in a row, her jacket and her homework. It's the friend who gets lost driving in his own neighbourhood. She's the tour director that keeps saying, go right, whilst gesturing to the left. And the store counter who can't count the change. He's the young man who begins his chores in the middle and somehow works his way out to the beginning and to the end. He's the guy rattling his tin cup on the bars of his prison cell. He's the man accepting the Nobel Prize. And almost certainly, these dyslexics will be wearing a digital watch." Dyslexia is on a spectrum, and different people have different experiences with it. It often causes problems with reading, writing, and spelling. This lifelong condition challenges somebody's everyday life. Thus, if the dyslexic is not supported to overcome the barriers, it will likely affect their ability to get a job, read a recipe, and can even confine people to their homes, as they fear the outside world, which is so reliant on words. Dyslexia is a hidden difficulty. I do not use the word disability, as it suggests to me that these dyslexics have less ability than others. However, its invisibility often makes it harder for people to help. Most people, I assume, would be willing to open the door for someone in a wheelchair, but the door is often closed by education, and this project aims to explore how some of these doors are either closed or never opened for dyslexics. Laycock notes this difference. The English language as a social factor disables dyslexics, much in the same way stairs inhibit those in wheelchairs. For this project, dyslexia can simply be defined as a neurobiological impairment within the brain, which causes an individual to struggle more than their peers in reading, spelling, and writing. But dyslexia is more than this. It's about the information processing and a unique perception of the world and processes. In order to gain an overview of dyslexia, please view the video, which can be viewed by scanning the QR code. Stage 2. Walk a mile in someone else's shoes. The saying goes, walk a mile in someone else's shoes. The aim of this journey is to make you understand what it is like to be dyslexic. Walk a mile in a dyslexic's shoes. Even this can be difficult, as one sign of someone with dyslexia is confusion when learning to tie shoelaces. Einstein himself could not tie his shoelaces until he was 9. I would like you to take your left shoe off and put it on your right foot, and vice versa. Now, try walking around the room. For some people, they will be able to walk normally, or only have to make small adjustments. But for others, they will need real adjustments or adaptations or resilience to make that journey. and make sure that they do not fall behind others within the education and development. In the same way, dyslexia is a spectrum of how it affects people. Even if you only found it slightly awkward when walking with opposite shoes, this inconvenience becomes a constant irritation and frustration, and probably causes you to give up on this task quite quickly. This exemplifies dyslexics' frustration when their effort does not equal merit. This is key to understanding why dyslexics find the education system a dystopia. Reasonable adjustments are a way to help dyslexics overcome and cope. Failure to put in these reasonable adjustments, which would help to put the shoes on the correct feet, means pupils with dyslexia will struggle. Under the Equality Act 2010, schools and education authorities have a duty to provide reasonable adjustments for disabled pupils. However, dyslexia discrimination still exists within education and by employers. Reasonable adjustments have been labelled unfair and giving students unfair advantages. And this lack of empathy and understanding impinges on these students' ability to feel worthy, and as Ken Robinson describes, can leave children and adults to go through their whole lives not knowing or believing they have talents. For me, this belief that because you do not fit the mould, it can impinge on the rest of your life is a dystopia in itself. Stage 3. Time goes fast. A further hurdle faced by many dyslexics is the ability to manage their time effectively. Time management is due to the sequencing of a dyslexic's brain being different. Telling the time itself is incredibly difficult. Without noticing it, we forget to appreciate that the current system relies on time management, with homework, coursework, deadlines, time tests, break times. The school environment is heavily based on time. Dyslexics do not only struggle with telling the time, but also have little concept of the time itself. Davenport argues that telling the time is based on fractions, which can cause further confusion. 25 minutes to 3 is much more complicated for dyslexics compared to 2:35. 24-hour clocks, which are often used in exam halls, are worse, as many of the pupils with dyslexia find the conversion into 24 hours difficult. Davenport's research shows that even with extra time, most dyslexics will still fail to complete the paper. Tasks in the classroom have dedicated time, such as you have 5 minutes to discuss this in pairs, or spend 25 minutes on this exam question. She further suggests that a proportion of time that should be spent on learning content or being involved in learning in the classroom is actually spent working out on what 25 minutes truly looks like. Her research resonates with my own experience, as the first thing I used to do when I went into an exam was write down numbers of when I needed to move on to the next question. I remember the invigilator once said, "You do know, dear, this isn't a maths test." This difficulty in time management and understanding is exacerbated by the fact that dyslexics often take longer on tasks and their brain becomes tired more quickly. To understand the problems faced in trying to multitask under time pressure, please scan the QR code. Stage 4. Word wall. A major barrier or hurdle for dyslexics is words. Writing is a difficult medium for pupils with dyslexia to demonstrate their knowledge, understanding and creativity. They can find it difficult to interpret the question and understand how much to write and what to include. Other barriers to writing include spelling, sequencing ideas, grammar and remembering their ideas. However, accessing information is often restricted, as most is in written form. Thus, reading is essential. Importantly, dyslexia does not affect general intelligence, but can make it difficult to interpret letters or symbols, as it affects how the brain processes reading and language. This is exacerbated as society appears to have an emphasis on reading, from road signs to English literature GCSE. Most non-dyslexics take English for granted. However, paradoxes surround us. I'm now going to read some of these paradoxes proposed by Frenchy. Quicksand can work slowly. Boxing rings are square. And a guinea pig is neither from Guinea nor is it a pig. Why do bakers bake, but grocers don't gross? If the plural of tooth is teeth, why isn't the plural of booth beef? If teachers taught, why don't preachers prought? If a vegetarian eats vegetables, what do humanitarians eat? In what language do people recite at a play and play at a recital? We ship by truck and send cargo by ship. How can a slim chance and a fat chance be the same, while a wise man and a wise guy are opposites? You have to marvel at the unique lunacy of a language in which our house can burn up as it burns down, in which you fill in a form by filling it out, and in which an alarm goes off by going on. English was invented by people, not computers, and it reflects the creativity of the human race, which of course isn't a race at all. When the stars are out, they are visible, but when the lights are out, they are invisible. And finally, how about when you want to shut down your computer, you have to hit start? These paradoxes are just some confusions dyslexics have to tackle. Reading is also difficult due to spelling and remains a persistent problem. I feel that it's important that spelling difficulties do not impede people's creativity and ability to demonstrate their knowledge. However, if teachers view dyslexic children as unintelligent and lacking willingness, the teacher may not encourage the use of ambitious words and fail to teach people to spell key curricular words. Simply repeating how to spell a word will further frustrate the pupil and ignore that a multi-sensory approach is necessary. In order to make this project accessible, I've used a multi-sensory approach, and I'm recording this podcast to help those with dyslexia access and understand my project. Therefore, with the world being surrounded by words, you can see why it's called a word wall. Please scan the QR codes to gain a better understanding of what it's like to read as a dyslexic. Stage 5, Tree of Knowledge. Looking at the model, you can see that I have created apples hanging from the branches. They are made from acorns, as from little acorns, big oak trees grow. The apples represent knowledge, and the two ladders show that some people will be able to access knowledge more quickly and with ease. However, dyslexics may have to self-assemble their ladder and are often not as strong. Each step on the ladder represents a key skill necessary for traditional educational success. If a step is missing or the ladder is not as tall as non-dyslexics, the dyslexic will be prevented from accessing higher forms of knowledge, or accessing knowledge takes longer. Stage 6. What lifts you up and what holds you down? Education is more than just learning content. Education has a hidden curriculum, which also teaches the people how to feel about themselves. Being diagnosed with dyslexia teaches the people about themselves. The label either holds them down, or they may receive support and view the label as just that, a label on the condition, not on their ability, in which case they can be lifted up. Hence, just like the balloon, more positive encouragement is needed for the student to rise. In a study carried out by Pollack, there were very few occasions on which the dyslexics deviated from seeing themselves as deficient as a result of being dyslexic. Pilo supports this, arguing that identification as dyslexic means that the student is informed that he or she is deeply flawed. There has been lots of academic research into labelling theory. However, some perspectives are dystopic for dyslexics. One scholar, such as Elliot, suggests that dyslexia is a myth and is used as a synonym for poor reading. Thus, for Elliot, the diagnosis of dyslexia ought to be abandoned. Stringer described dyslexia as a cruel fiction, which labels children as dyslexic, and the term is used to cover up poor teaching methods. This failure to identify students with dyslexia and it denies their existence is likely to prove more harmful to the child, as they are likely to blame themselves rather than be able to recognise that they learn differently. Thus, this project suggests that Stringer and Elliot's approach to dyslexia is dystopic and has harmful consequences. Failure of educators to label and identify dyslexia leads students to feel that they didn't try hard enough, or that they are a slow learner. McLaughlin and Fitzgibbon found that once a child is told they have failed in traditional education, they feel they lack ability in all areas of life. This may be a key explanation to why 53% of the prison population is thought to be dyslexic. Even once they have entered the prison system, they still remain cut off from learning and valuable training. This training can often be an important part of rehabilitation and can break the cycle of reoffending. Ex-offenders who are dyslexic at Chelmsford Prison described how they wanted to continue with training, but found it difficult to locate educational support at the right level. Once released from prison, they lost self-esteem and believed that they had value. Thus, these ex-offenders became disillusioned dyslexics, which held them down and led to reoffending. Graves' work has reflected how the lack of an inclusive education system leads to a high amount of dyslexics in prison. Importantly, Graves notes, "We should remember that criminals are tremendously creative, though not in the way society finds very helpful." Hence, if school had not been a dystopia for these people and had been taught how to harness this creativity, offenders and ex-offenders may not have been held down to feel that they had no talent. Thus, inclusivity and support at school may play an essential role in preventing a disproportionate amount of dyslexics ending up in prison. Stage 7. Pandora's Box. A diagnosis can be helpful to some as it labels why they have experienced learning problems. However, for others, it leads to the self-fulfilling prophecy. Pollock found that the diagnosis causes a variety of emotions. The label does not only affect the dyslexic, but changes people's perceptions and treatment of the student. In this dystopia, teachers, parents, and educators may view the dyslexic as a lost cause, and they may make the student feel worthless. Thus, the student is more likely, once labelled as dyslexic, to view themselves as having difficulties, rather than focusing on their strengths. Perhaps dyslexics view dyslexia as a deficit, not a difference. I would now like to share with you some of the other dyslexics' experiences which stood out to me when researching this topic. One dyslexic stated, "I got over the red pen. What no one seemed to notice was the imagination leaving the essays for the sake of safety. In the minds of teachers, I was improving, but my love of learning and spirit was leaving me." Another dyslexic stated, "Being told I was dyslexic was one of the most shameful but also joyous experiences in my life. It lifted the phantom decap off my head." In order to understand more, please open the Pandora box to see some of the feelings that I felt when I was labelled as dyslexic. Stage 8. Daydream Believer. To me, it appears dystopian that in the current system, dreaming and creativity is squashed out of you. Graves' work has developed this and suggests that many adults have lost the capacity for imaginative play, possibly because our educational system knocks it out of us in favour of problem solving, which is seen as more realistic. Dyslexics have the strength of seeing the bigger picture and use their imaginations. Einstein noted this importance. Imagination is more important than knowledge. Knowledge is limited, whereas imagination embraces the entire world. With this in mind, it appears prohibitive of the current educational system to purely teach knowledge. Instead, it ought to inspire the imagination. For dyslexics, imagination is a way of thinking and an escape mechanism. An anonymous graphic student in Biggs Research revealed, She went into the room called Words, but the light went off in the room of Images. She could reverse the procedure, but she could not persuade the two rooms to talk. Thus, thinking in pictures and from the world around us may be much easier for dyslexics, and their different ways of processing should be fostered and not squashed. Graves illustrates this, writing, "I like to think of dyslexia as a healthy thought form of rebellion against destructive social pressures. It's a celebration of individuality. To celebrate difference is the first step in embarking on a creative relationship with ourselves and a creative relationship with others. Hence, education must foster the imagination. Large organisations have recognised dyslexic creativity, imagination and ability to think outside the box. As a result, they actively recruit dyslexics. These corporations include GCHQ and Apple. Please scan the QR code below to understand more. Stage 9. A carload of information. Often, dyslexics may feel that the road ahead of them is closed due to information gathering and processing being essential to our everyday lives. However, for dyslexics, the brain receives information and cognitively processes information differently compared to someone who does not live with dyslexia. Retention can prove difficult, but this is not to say that they do not retain knowledge. Thus, small bites of information through kinesthetic learning may be more beneficial. The current education system relies on short-term retention of facts, rather than on a deep understanding or contemplation of knowledge. Consequently, during exam season, dyslexic students are likely to feel overwhelmed by a carload of information. Additionally, driving also poses as a daily challenge for dyslexics, as road signs scramble, knowing left and right is difficult, and assessing which task to complete first proves challenging. Thus, although reading and how to learn is taught in school, consequences of a dyslexic's education will stay with them and affect their ability to do the mundane tasks, including driving. Please scan the QR code. Stage 5. What's in your basket? Even when you leave education, the dystopia continues as a dyslexic. Words appear to be all around us, from road signs to creating shopping lists. I was made aware of how reliant the world is on words when watching a programme called The Write-Offs. During the programme, the host asked the participants to collect a variety of items from the supermarket. Many of them struggled with this activity, finding it difficult to know what the correct item was, where it was, how much was needed, etc. A further task was asking the dyslexics to make their way from their homes to a set point without using technology or asking anyone. Here they had to tackle reading maps, timetables, and street names. For most people, it seems a simple task, but if your confidence has been eroded and you have not been supported with your dyslexia, this task is incredibly difficult. During the programme, I noticed that not being supported with dyslexia can affect people's lives after school and prevent them from learning and exploring later in life. Please scan the QR code. Stage 11. Who is your superhero? I would now like to share a quote with you from Mohsin Zadidi, a prominent barrister and author who, during the podcast How to Fail by Elizabeth Day, stated, "The thing about superheroes is that they have to have a weakness. If they were invincible, there would be no point. The same is true in real life. What makes superheroes special is they find a way to overcome their kryptonite. For me, this provides a clear and inspiring analogy that dyslexics may view their dyslexia as their kryptonite. But education, if reinvented positively, has the potential to help students overcome their kryptonite or view dyslexia as a powerful tool. If not supported, and no way is visible for the dyslexic to overcome or harness difficulties they experience, then there appears to be the chance that many dyslexics will go through life feeling as though they are a failure and that they have no real talents, when actually they have not been supported to find their talent. Ken Robinson illustrates this by describing how Gillian Lynn became a dancer and choreographer, which was her hidden talent. He explains that Gillian's mother took her to a doctor as the school thought she had a learning disability, due to her not handing homework in on time, fidgeting and not focusing on the tasks. The doctor explains to Gillian's mother that her daughter doesn't have anything wrong with her, but she is a dancer and thinks through movement. Had she been prescribed medication and continued in a typical education system, she may not have discovered her hidden talent of dancing. Similarly, my worry is that if the current education system is not one of care, compassion and love, dyslexic students will be forced into a box and may leave education feeling that they have not discovered their hidden talent, or may go on to feel worthless, or that they possess no talents at all. As Juggins remarks, throw dyslexics a chance to succeed and not another spelling test. Presently, we attempt to change the individual and not the system. What is needed is less fixing of the unbroken and a more nurturing of dyslexic strengths by providing them with a suitable learning environment. For me, this is key to why reinvention of education is key for dyslexics. Stage 12, Shining Stars. Patience Thompson provided such a suitable learning environment. Patience was a dyslexic pioneer who encouraged learning through play, where she invented games so dyslexics could learn through experiences. She encouraged making scarves for teddies, doll's houses, building and puppet shows. She would take the pupils on nature trails and spend hours talking to them conspiratorially. Thus, Patience argues that the first step in education is to accept and celebrate children as they are and not to make them think that they need fixing. In order to do this, she played a leading role in the slow transition from the condition being perceived as a learning difficulty to the championing of many dyslexic children as creatively gifted. Sadly, Patience died in 2020, but worked with all sorts of people who had received the diagnosis of dyslexia. From bin men who could not read road signs, plumbers who had learned their trade without ever resorting to a manual, and chefs who had been flummoxed by French. Her main contribution was giving these people the ability to believe in themselves and learn through the ways that best suited them. As a result, I think a solution to a dyslexic dystopia of the current education system is to give students a variety of education. Not just fact learning, but providing them with opportunities to discover who they are and what talents they possess. I would like to put this into action here. Please write on one of the stars something you think is successful about you or something you wish to achieve. You may not write anything which is a grade or qualification. Please now fold the star up and put it into the pond of water, as seen in the short video. You will see that the piece of paper slowly starts to unravel and becomes a star. In the same way, education and support is the water. It's made up of lots of components, and when it works together and collaboratively, it can help each pupil, including those with dyslexia, to realise they too are a star. Thus, education ought to be a place where students, particularly those with disabilities, learn that they are stronger than they seem, braver than they believe, and smarter than they think. Thank you for joining me on my educational journey and exploration of how the current system may be dystopic for dyslexics.